So when people say that Silvia Acevedo is a bit of a badass, are you okay with that?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm a Girl Scout. I didn't think I would ever say that.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of Silvia Acevedo, who went from being an engineer at NASA to the CEO of the Girl Scouts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions. Plus, chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Silvia Acevedo was one of the first in her family to go to college. She was also one of the first and few Latinas to ever work in NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Today, she's the CEO of the Girl Scouts, and recently she published a book for young adults about her life. It's titled Path to the Stars, My Journey from Girl Scout to Rocket Scientist. I first spoke with her in September of 2017. This week, we revisit that conversation with Silvia, where we talked about her trajectory from Las Cruces to Stanford to NASA and how the Girl Scouts played a role in all of it. Silvia Acevedo, welcome to Latino USA.
Well, thank you very much, Maria. I'm so excited to be here.
You are from New Mexico.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And actually right on the border, right? Las Cruces.
Las Cruces, New Mexico. Some years of our lives, we lived in kind of basically a Spanish-speaking barrio, dirt streets and everything. But that was my life. That was our community, you know, and I loved it.
Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, you kind of throw it out there, you know, dirt streets, kind of, you know, I mean, what you're talking about is a bit of poverty?
Yeah, we lived paycheck to paycheck, let's just say, for a while. And there were a couple times that my dad lost his job. So there were really, you know, rough moments. And that figures in very much of what happened in my family life is that, you know, living in that area, there was a meningitis epidemic that went through that area. And my younger sister, unfortunately, was one of those that was struck with meningitis and kind of changed her brain with the high temperatures. And she became special, but more special in the Special Olympics kind of way. My mom realized that in all of Las Cruces, the only place that there was a meningitis epidemic was in our neighborhood, our dirt street neighborhood. So it took her a couple of years and working really hard and convincing my dad, but we moved to a different part of town where the streets were paved. I saw a girl walking in my neighborhood, and she was going to a troop meeting. And she invited me to come along, and I didn't want to go. And we were in front of my house. So she said, go ask your mom. And back then, my mom had seen I'd gone, become, you know, been a very outgoing, happy girl. And now I was closing the door, locked. I wasn't happy at all. My mom was excited that I was interested in doing something. And I was surprised, but she said I could go. And when I went into the Girl Scout meeting, I just fell in love. There were girls like me, girls doing things. There was order. There was calm. I was just so excited about it. And I felt like light in life came back.
So this very sad circumstance of your sister getting sick actually ends up leading you to interact with the Girl Scouts.
Absolutely. And, you know,
so
if
your sister hadn't gotten meningitis, you might not have interacted with the Girl Scouts.
I know my life would have been a very different thing. You know, everything changed as a result of me being in Girl Scouts. So there's two other major pivotal moments from Girl Scouts. One was cookies, and the other one was earning my science badge.
So I'm sorry, is this a science patch?
I have a science patch, yes.
Is this what it looks like?
Yeah, so my science patch tells my Girl Scout story.
So it's got your name.
Right.
And it's got, like, you know, what's that called?
Well, it's got the atom. It's got
atom,
a rocket ship.
A rocket ship. What's that? Oh, it's got pie, it's stars. Got,
the stars are because my Girl Scout troop leader saw me looking up at the stars. And so later when we were deciding what badges to earn, you know, my parents had seen me look at the stars and they never thought about, well, so how can you, you know, Sylvia's got an interest in science. So it was just, oh, you looked at the stars. But my troop leader thought, well, you you're looking at the stars. You might be interested in science, so why don't you earn a science badge? And I said, I want to earn a cooking badge like all my friends. Because, you know, I was a young girl. I wanted to be like my friends. But she kept encouraging me and telling me, you could earn your cooking badge, but let's earn your science badge. And I did that by making Estes rockets. And the first few ones didn't succeed, but they finally did. And I learned that, you know, trial and error. I learned I could do science. I could do math. So at a time when girls like me weren't being encouraged to take science and math, I took all those electives. So when I was in high school, I had decided to be an engineer and I signed up with a college counselor. And she looked at me, she looked in the lobby and she said, what are you here for? And I said, because I'm going to go to college. And she said, no, girls like you don't go to college. When I sat down and talked to her and I said, and I want to be an engineer, she just laughed. She says, girls aren't engineers. But with that confidence instilled by Girl Scouting, I said, if I can cook, I can do science and I can be an engineer.
Can you kind of paint a picture of what New Mexico State University was like?
I went and scheduled an appointment with the head of the industrial engineering department. And when I met with him, he said, well, you've got to be good in math and science. You've got to do well in school. And I said, well, I'm graduating in the top 10 of my class, and here's my scores on the standardized test. He goes, okay. And, you know, at that point, he became very welcoming. But, you know, there weren't a lot of girls. There weren't a lot of women. And I was very fortunate to have won a scholarship that also had a summer fellowship. And even winning that was interesting because when I applied for it, there was no gender associated with it because I think they had assumed only males would go for it. So I won that award. And when I won that scholarship, which was a 4-year scholarship paid for by Sandia Labs, they sent 2 engineers to interview me because they didn't believe that I had filled out the paperwork myself. I remember specifically they wanted to know if I knew how to change the oil in a car, which I did, but they wanted to know step by step.
You talk a lot about girls not being in the world of engineering. What about Latinas and Latinos? Were they there as well?
Not very many. It was really interesting. In 2006, I think someone from Stanford was doing some archives research, and they called me and they said, you're one of the first and kind of one of the few Latinos or Latinas to have ever gotten their graduate engineering degrees from Stanford. And, you know, it really kind of was sort of very eye-opening for me when I was answering their questions, and they kept saying, how was it somebody from Las Cruces, New Mexico, because at the time they said we didn't even recruit from there. So how did you know about that us? That I realized that Girl Scouts had been such a pivotal point in my life and had really helped give me the tools that transformed me, gave me that courage, confidence, and character, and also gave me the know-how that I could go and succeed, and also that you can create your own opportunities mindset. So with that, then when I was talking to the folks at Stanford, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, the Girl Scouts has meant so much to me. So then I started getting involved again with Girl Scouts.
So were you, like, seriously the only girl in your classroom?
Sometimes I was. And a fun story was my first summer internship, there were no bathrooms for me. So when I watched Hidden Figures, there's this scene about the women's bathroom.
Everywhere I look, you're not where I need you to be. It's not my imagination. Now, where the hell do you go every day?
To the bathroom, sir.
To the bathroom. To the damn bathroom. For 40 minutes a day?
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no...
I mean, the scene in Hidden Figures, watching her run for actually what? It turns out that she was running for like 20 minutes each way just to get to a bathroom for women of color.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because when I first started working and there wasn't a women's bathroom because I was in a test engineering area and they didn't have.
At NASA or where?
No, this was at Sandia Labs. So what happened was when that happened and I didn't have an immediate bathroom available to me, I went into problem solving mode. I didn't go into complaining. I went and said, OK, where are the nearest women's bathrooms? And I realized I needed to bring a bike in so I could get there. But eventually they did bring in a porta potty and it said hers on it.
So you problem solved the problem of not having a bathroom close.
Right.
By bringing your bike to work.
Yes.
To ride your bike to the bathroom.
Yes.
Because this is Sandia Labs, right? I mean,
right,
it's kind of huge.
Time. But, you know, my father had given me really good advice. He said, you know, Sylvia, there is this part of working in an all-male environment. They're going to tease you. They're going to send you on wild goose chases, for the left-handed monkey wrench, whatever. He said, always, you know, work hard. Make sure you have a winning attitude. If they haven't assigned you work, that you look for something to do. I'm grateful for that, because they really weren't excited that I was there at first at all. I did the things that they didn't want to do. And also, I had young eyes. And in test engineering, sometimes they had to look at stuff that was really small, and they have magnifying glasses. But me, with my 18-year-old eyes, was able to read those without any magnifying glasses. So they're like, oh, okay, she can come here and help me on this electrical engineering aspect of the work. And I didn't complain. I problem solved. So when the overalls that we had to wear were too big, I got duct tape and adjusted them. The gloves were too big, but I got duct tape around those so that they would not fall off my hands. You know, it ended up being a really rewarding experience. They liked me a lot.
So you end up at NASA?
Then my first job out of college was at NASA's Jet Propulsion Labs in Pasadena, California. Yes.
Can we just spend a little bit of time talking about what it was like to be a Mexican woman, a Mexican-American woman at NASA?
Well, you know, everyone knows your name. So that's something that it's really, you know, or they call you Maria, but they know you and they're aware of you. But, you know, I had a really good manager, and his way of managing, he would take me out for hamburgers and he'd say, you know, Sylvia, and this is a very competitive world. And he said, you know, you're going to look around the room and there's not everyone that's going to move ahead and get ahead. And you've got to decide if that's going to be you. And then you've got to do the work and what it takes to get to that next level.
So, you know, this notion that you, with all of this information that you have as an engineer and a researcher working at IBM, at NASA, and then you're like, yeah, I think I'll put my hat in the ring to head the Girl Scouts.
Well, actually, how that happened was, after I was on the board for 8 years, our CEO left to go after public service. So they asked me to step in as interim. And I was already in love with the organization. And gosh, I've fallen more in love. What I'm really drawn to is, I know how much Girl Scouts has meant in my life, and I really want to make sure that we're reaching as many girls as possible, because this transforms lives, it transforms destinies. It certainly did that for me.
Sylvia Acevedo is the CEO of the Girl Scouts and author of Path to the Stars, My Journey from Girl Scout to Rocket Scientist. This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo. We're edited by Marlon Bishop and Sofia Paliza Cal, with additional editing by Allison McAdam. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music that you heard on this episode, check out latinousa.org and see our weekly Spotify playlist. And my dear podcast listener, we really love hearing from you, our listeners. So go to your favorite podcast app, take a moment to rate and review Latino USA, and keep on writing those comments, because we really love them. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, you can find us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, we talk about Alaska. No, not the state, the famous Spanish recording artist who sang the definitive LGBTQ anthem en español. Alaska, that's next time on Latino USA.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. If you're a normal Wait, Wait listener, you shout out the answers to all the questions, and then you get frustrated that no one can tell how smart you are. Here's the solution, the Wait, Wait quiz, available now on your smart speaker. Just ask your smart speaker to open the Wait, Wait quiz. Finally, your genius shall be recognized.